Hello and welcome to Fat Geeky Reviews. My name is Brendan. Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Fat Geeky Reviews. This week on our episode, we are going to do a full spoiler review of Avengers Endgame. Last week I did a non-spoiler review after I watched it the first time. Well, now I've watched it a second time and it's time for the full spoiler review. And the reason I wanted to do this was because I wanted to give it a while, made sure people went and saw the movie before they listened to my podcast, and now I'm going to give you the full in-depth reaction to Avengers Endgame. So on my non-spoiler review, I gave it an 8.5 out of 10 stars, and I still stick with that notion even after seeing it a second time. It is a solid movie, it is a good movie, but it's not wrought without flaws. There are a few flaws in the movie that I just didn't get. I didn't get the reason why that happened. Other than just for pure fan enjoyment, added nothing to the plot, added nothing to the story, just for pure fan enjoyment. So, let's get into it, man. This is going to be fun. So, I love the movie, obviously. 8.5 out of 10 is a good score for me. And it's just a fun movie. I'm not gonna pick apart all the little stuff, but altogether the movie is very well flowed. There's no slow points in the movie for me. It has a nice ebb and flow. So starting off by telling Hawkeye's story is a good starting point for the movie. So we see Hawkeye. He's at his family's house. He's at his house with his family, and they're all outside having a picnic. He's teaching his daughter how to shoot a bow. He calls her Hawkeye, which is pretty funny. And then she shoots the bow, and then hot dogs are ready. And then, of course, we see her flake away. Well, we don't actually see her flake away. He turns around, and all we see is the flakes floating in the wind. And then he turns around the other direction, and the rest of his family's gone. So that sets up a huge moment for Hawkeye in this movie, and it answered a lot of questions for us about where he was and what happened to him, or what he went through when the snap happened, right? So it was a good start to the film. It brought you in. It made you interested into the film. We see Tony Stark and Nebula. They're in the ship. They're in Star-Lord's ship that they take to the homeworld of Thanos. And they're adrift in space. And we then see Tony Stark record that message to Pepper Potts like he did in the trailer. And then, boom, they're saved by Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel then brings them back to the compound where basically Tony said, "I told you so. We should have put a suit of armor around the world. And I had a dream about this," and he gets mad at Cap. He's like, "Where were you? You weren't there. Why weren't you there?" And then he's all malnourished and stuff like that. So he then passes out. And then what's left of the Avengers, including Captain Marvel, they go ahead and decide to track down Thanos, which Nebula is there, and Nebula knows exactly where he is. And they're able to track the energy from the stones. So the exact same signature is found. So he uses the gauntlet again on this other world. And so they all get in the ship and they fly to this world. So it's, it's Thor and War Machine and Nebula and Captain America and Black Widow and Rocket. And so they go to the world, and Thanos is there, and he's like, "I did what I needed to do. The world now has balance." And, spoilers. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, the spoiler thing, Thor cuts his freaking head off. And they're like, "What'd you do?" He's like, "I went for the head." Because that's what he should have done at the end of Infinity War. And then, I'm like, I'm sitting there in theater. I remember when I saw it the first time. I'm sitting in the theater and I see Thor chop Thanos' head off with Stormbreaker, and I'm like, "That was a good movie. Everybody ready to go? They killed Thanos. That's what they set out to do. That's what they did. Kind of surprised they did it that early in the movie, and I know, of course, it sets up the whole plot to bring everybody back. Spoilers, they bring everybody back. But let's go into that. You know, and so it's now 5 years later. So they it's 5 years later, and, you know, Captain America is leading kind of a discussion group, just for people that had lost people during the snap. And, we see, Scarlet Witch, she's leading kind of the search party for anything, searching for people and searching for things. And, we know that, that Rhodey, War Machine, he's in Mexico tracking Hawkeye. So, and we now learn that Hawkeye's been going around killing people, for an unknown reason at this point. And then they're being reported to by Captain Marvel, and Rocket and Nebula are reporting in, and of course Wakanda's reporting in about anything that's going on. And Rocket and Captain Marvel have kind of a cute exchange. You know, he's like, "Well, what are you gonna do, get another haircut?" And she's like, "Listen here, fur face," you know. Pretty cute moment between those two. And then we see Scott Lang. And he comes out of the quantum realm, as his stuff has been in storage for 5 years, and he's presumed missing. And he a rat reactivates the quantum like realm drive thing, and he comes back. He, you know, he's returned back, and he's trying to figure out what happened. He goes, he sees the memorial. There's a memorial in San Francisco that has all the names on it of the people who went missing. And then he sees his own name on the memorial. He's like, what happened? And he goes to his old house, and his daughter is there, and his daughter's grown up 5 years later. And so that's how Scott kind of gets back in the system. We see Captain America go back to the Avengers compound and reconnect with Scarlet Witch, and that's when Scott shows up. And this is when Scott brings up the idea that, listen, I was in the quantum realm, and Captain America goes, well, that was a long 5 years. That must have been a long 5 years for you. He's like, no, that's the thing. It's only been 5 hours. And so he's thinking about how to time travel back and to stop Thanos. And so they go and visit Tony, who is living with Pepper, his wife, and now they have a daughter. And Tony wants nothing to do with it. He's moved on. And but yet he still can't stop thinking about what happened, you know. And he solves the problem of time travel. You know, he runs it through ton simulations, stuff like that. And there's a little cute part in the movie where his daughter was like, "I love you 3000," and that's kind of a theme throughout the movie. So, and he tells Pepper, like, I saw time travel. I know how to do it. And she's like, "Oh, well, you need to do it." So he shows up at the, so when Tony refused to, do it, they're like, "We have to go get another mind." And this is where we run into Bruce Banner, AKA the Hulk. And he went through 18 hours of gamma radiation treatments, and now he's both the Hulk and Bruce Banner. So he has the mind of Bruce Banner, but the body and strength of the Hulk. And that's how he is for the entire movie. Now, this is one of the things that I kind of disagreed with in the movie. I'm perfectly okay with just having a separate Bruce Banner and a separate Hulk. Mixing them together for the whole movie kind of seemed unnecessary to me. I think you could have gotten away easily with just Bruce being Bruce, and then when he needed to become the Hulk, become the Hulk. Although it did make for some pretty funny moments in the movie, and we'll talk about one of the reasons when they actually time travel in a little bit. There was a particular scene in the movie that I had a problem with it. You know, we'll get into that in a little bit. But they find Bruce Banner, and, you know, there's a couple funny scenes in there at a diner. And then they go back to the Avengers compound with Bruce, and they convince him to go ahead and try to do the time travel thing. And he doesn't succeed at it. He sends He sends time through Scott instead of Scott through time, makes him into a baby, makes him into an old man, makes him into a teenager, and then brings him back to Scott. And then Tony shows up, and they're gonna go ahead and try it. So Tony comes back and is like, okay, I'm in. But Rocket and Tony basically says we need a team, and Captain America's like, we're working on that. And then we see Hulk and Rocket leave to a place called New Asgard. And New Asgard is where Thor is. And Thor has gotten, like, fat from drinking a lot, and he's just depressed and drinking and playing, you know, he's got Korg with him, and he's playing Fortnite. And so that whole scene, there's a bunch of scenes in this movie where the comic relief helps, because there's a lot of emotional stuff in this movie. And, you know, we need that in this movie. We do, because, you know, at both times I went to the theater, both in the regular theater, in IMAX, there were people that were crying in the movie, or in the theater. And it just shows you how powerful that these stories are told, and how much attachment you can have to these characters. So they convince Thor to come back, and then Nat and Rhodey go get Hawkeye, and Hawkeye at this point has become a character called Ronin. They don't say Ronin by name, but that's the persona he's taken on from the comics, as he did in the comics. And he's learned the way of the samurai, and he's killing people with swords and stuff like that, but they don't actually say that. There's not a whole lot of action there. There's just a one quick scene where he's killing these, like, Japanese mobsters with swords, and then they bring him in. And then they go ahead and test the time travel, which ended up being successful, which again drove Clint Barton to do it even more. They used him as the test subject, which was a good idea, sent him back, and he got emotional because he saw his family still alive, and then he got brought back. And he's like, let's do it, let's go right now, let's go. And so they split up into different teams to go back in time. So they come up with a plan to get all of the stones before Thanos gets them. So, and they figure out that at the same point in time, all three stones are in New York. Three of the six stones, actually, not all three. I'm going to say all three, four. Three of the six stones are in New York. And so they sent a team to New York. Then they sent a team to Asgard, because that's where the reality stone is at some point in time. And then they send two teams into space. They send one team into space, and then they split off into kind of two splinter teams. One goes to Morag, where we see Star-Lord from the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. That's where he goes to get the Power Stone. And then we see another team go to Voromir, I think they call it, and to get the Soul Stone. So this was the coolest part of the movie for me, because we got to kind of go back and revisit some of the older movies, and when we do that, you get to kind of include things and change things that you didn't get to see before. You got to see continuations of scenes that could have happened in that movie that we never got to see, which was cool. So we go to New York in 2012 to the time of the first Avengers movie, and it's the Battle of New York. So we have the you know, the aliens coming from space to invade Earth, and the Avengers are fighting them. So Captain America, Tony Stark, Ant-Man, and the Hulk all show up there, and then they kind of split up to get three stones. So Tony and Ant-Man, they go try to get the Space Stone. Hulk tries and goes and gets the Time Stone from Doctor Strange, and Captain America goes and tries to get the Mind Stone that's still in the staff from Loki. And so one of the problems I have with this movie, again with having they go too early for Doctor Strange, and they had to try to write another character in. So Tilda Swinton returned and reprised her role from Doctor Strange, as the Sorcerer Supreme. And, you know, the Hulk shows up there to try to get the Time Stone. She's like, well, you're 5 years too early. Doctor Strange is, you know, five blocks that way performing surgery right now. So she already knows that Doctor Strange is coming. And then Hulk kind of gets, like, phased out of his body. You know how in the movie they used to, like, push their astral form out? So she pushed the astral form out of Bruce Banner. And then Mark Ruffalo walked around as, you know, his astral form. And that's what I didn't get, is why even have the astral form? Turn into Hulk, you know, turn back into Bruce Banner. You know, they could have done it that way. They didn't. But that was kind of the problem I had with it. And then we don't know why she was in New York. We didn't know that she was the guardian of the Time Stone at the time. We thought the Time Stone was locked away in the Eye of Agamotto in their place that Doctor Strange went to in the movie. So why was it on Bleecker Street in New York during that time? That they didn't explain that, and that's kind of the problem I had. I was like, why is she there? Why is she guarding that house? You know, and we don't know. But what I also liked about that scene was how Bruce was able to tell her or convince her to give him the stone, because she had no idea that Doctor Strange would give up the stone willingly. And that's kind of just like, oh shit, he gave it up willingly? Oh shit, he knows what happens. Okay, here's the stone. You know, so that was kind of cool. It was cool, and it was kind of dumb. And then, of course, Captain America went after the Mind Stone, and there was a cool scene where they had this kind of the scene from Winter Soldier. It was not the scene from Winter Soldier, but it was a scene kind of similar to it. So he was in the they're done battling Loki, and they're like, oh, let's go get, you know, our shawarma or whatever, and Captain America gets into the elevator with all the guys that ended up being Hydra later. And he's like, he walks into the elevator, and of course they're doing that kind of same setup scene where he's standing in the middle of all these Hydra agents that at this point, you know, he knows they're Hydra agents, but they don't know that he knows. So he's like, oh, the secretary, change of plans, I'm taking control of the staff. And he's like, oh, I'm going to call this in. And he's like, no, you don't. Hail Hydra. And he just takes the staff and he gets the Mind Stone that way. So then we go to the Space Stone. And Ant-Man goes inside past Tony's arc reactor and pulls like a plug out. And gives him like a heart attack, basically. And that's when they were able to walk away with the Space Stone. But the Hulk from the past was made to go down the stairs and kind of smashed into future Tony. And then got away. So and Loki got the cube and disappeared. So they missed out on the Space Stone. And to alleviate that later in the movie, they go back and Tony and Captain America go back to 1970 and then he runs into his father and they get the Space Stone and more Pym particles. Which is what's helping them flow through time, is the Pym particles. So they got more Pym particles because Dr. Pym and Howard Stark were in the same place at the same time, and so they knew this cube was there, so they end up getting the cube that way. Nebula and Rhodey go get the Power Stone, and they just knock out Star-Lord and take it. But what we don't know, at this point in the movie, this is when we find out that when Nebula goes back in the past, she has like a neural network, and she connects to her past self. So her past self is getting like worked on, and she's like floating up in the air. And this is before Gamora even meets the Guardians. And this is when Thanos finds out that there's another Nebula out there, and she's from the future. And so now he's on to them. So, that's pretty cool. And that's how Thanos finds out. And that was a really cool way to kind of connect it. In a way, it's going through Nebula. But they end up getting the Power Stone, and Rhodey goes back. But Nebula gets captured, and that's how they get to the future. So, but we'll get to that. And then, of course, Rocket and Thor go to Asgard when Natalie Portman's there, and then Rocket's gonna extract the ether, and then Thor at this point, of course, he's drunk and overweight, and he's emotional, and he sees his mom, of course, who passed away, and she kind of knows that he's from the future, and he tries to kind of save her, and he's like, no, and she's like, no, I was raised by witches, I know what you're trying to do, you're trying to fix your timeline, go ahead and fix it. And then he calls Mjolnir, they get the ether, so now he has Mjolnir and Stormbreaker. So they get the ether, or the reality stone. And then of course we have the Soul Stone. And the Soul Stone, Hawkeye and Black Widow go to get the Soul Stone. And of course, as we learn from Infinity War, somebody has to die in order to get the Soul Stone. And of course, Hawkeye and Scarlett Johansson. And I was gonna say Scarlet Witch, but Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow, they fight, and Black Widow ends up having to sacrifice herself, or ends up sacrificing herself in order to get the Soul Stone. So now you add double anguish into Hawkeye. And so they all come back with all the stones, and of course without Natasha. And Tony Stark then creates a glove that can hold the power of the Infinity Stones. Hulk puts it on and snaps. At this point, though, the other Nebula, the past Nebula, is the one that actually comes back. And she messes with the time machine to bring Thanos and the army to the future. And that's kind of how that happens. So Hulk snaps. You know, they're like, we think it worked. And then boom, Thanos fires the ship. And they all kind of go, you know, everything gets kind of blown up. And then finally they kind of recover a little bit. And then the best part of the entire movie happens. And that's the final battle. So, you know, we see Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man join in the final battle, and then they're fighting Thanos, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on, and they seem defeated. Thanos looks like he's going to win again, and then we just see Mjolnir get picked up out of nowhere, because Thor doesn't have it, and turns out Captain America is worthy of the power of Thor, and picks up Mjolnir and starts to fight with Mjolnir, but ends up getting overpowered by Thanos. And this is when the armies come down. So Thanos brings his entire army down. He's going to destroy the entire planet. And then we see Captain America. His shield's half broken. He's bleeding. He's tightens up the strap, and he's ready to try to fight until his dying breath. And then we hear, Cap, are you there? Cap, it's Sam, are you there? And at this point, they realize that when Hulk snapped for the second time and brought everybody back, that it worked. And that was a huge emotional part of the movie. And then Sam goes, on your left. And then we see Doctor Strange and his, you know, the circle thing. And we see Black Panther come out. And we see Sam come out. And we see everybody coming from Wakanda. And then we see everybody coming through. We see Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, the Guardians. Everybody's coming through. Pepper shows up in her suit. Valkyrie shows up. Everybody from the past movies that you can possibly think of shows up. Wasp is there. Everybody's there. and it's go time. And then the final battle begins, and then, you know, they seem to be getting overpowered again. And then Captain Marvel, who's off-world at this point, comes back, destroys the ship, and evens the fight once again. And there's just so much stuff that I can't even detail it off of memory. But there's just so much stuff. But that point in the movie where everybody comes back for two times in a row gave me freaking chills. And I knew it was coming because I saw it the first time. First time it gave me chills, but it still gave me chills the second time. Probably the coolest moment in the movie for me is when you hear, "Cap, are you there? Cap, it's Sam, are you there?" To me, it just chills. Chills down to the spine. You know, I had goosebumps for days. I had goosebumps right now even just thinking about it. And just to see all the portals open and to see everybody come out and ready to fight. And that is just the coolest part of the movie. One of the coolest parts during this fight scene is when all the women get to get in there and kick ass. And all the women from the MCU. You know, I wish Black Widow would have been in there. I really wish that was. But between Scarlet Witch, Valkyrie, Gamora, Nebula, the Mantis, Pepper, Wasp, everybody. It was a really cool Captain Marvel. Just a really cool scene to see all the women of the MCU band together and join the battle. And that to me, was a really good tribute to the amazing work that these women did on these movies. Without them, these movies don't get made, in my opinion. And it was such a cool moment for them that I couldn't get over that part. We just saw cool scenes with Spider-Man in the Iron Spider costume. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Thanos gets the new gauntlet that Tony made and is about to snap, and they finally get it off of him. And Tony looks over at Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange just holds up one finger. That means one possibility out of 14 million possibilities that they'll win the battle. And Tony ends up taking the stones out of the glove and putting it in his own Iron Man glove, and now he has all the stones, and he snaps. So three snaps in the total movies. And we see Thanos' army just disappear. And now everybody that's brought back is brought back 5 years later. So, but time hasn't changed for them, the people that were brought back. So they lose out on 5 years. But of course, the result of Tony snapping his finger and destroying Thanos' army is because he's human. He didn't have the power like Hulk did to survive the snap. And ultimately, this is the end of Iron Man. And so Iron Man is now gone from the MCU. So, pretty sad moment in the movie, for sure. I'm sure my eyes glistened a little bit. I know they did. It's a sad moment, for sure. And then, of course, the next scene we see is Tony's funeral. Everybody's there. Everybody's at the funeral. And it makes a lot of sense for everybody to be there. And the thing is that the one thing that Bruce Banner promised the Sorcerer Supreme, that he would return the stones to the time that they were taken, the exact time they were taking. And Cap is put in charge of that. And he was supposed to come back in 5 seconds, didn't come back. And so we look at the future now. And he didn't come back in the time machine, and they're all wondering why. And then we see an old man sitting on the bench near the lake. And it's future Steve Rogers. And at this point, he went back and he went and had that dance with Peggy Carter and decided to live his life. And it was very important. It was a good way to end Captain America without killing him off. You didn't want to kill off too many people in the movie, and I thought the two that they killed off, Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow and Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark, were the two best candidates to be killed off in this movie. I thought they did a fantastic job of that, but they kind of wrote off Steve Rogers. The other characters kind of have a iffy ending to them. We don't really know what happens to everybody. But those three had a good write-off. And they set up the future. You know, Steve Rogers gives Sam Wilson the shield. And now Sam Wilson can go be Captain America like he is in the comics. So it's a good future for Sam Wilson. And we know that when Disney Plus, the streaming service, comes out, there's going to be a show with Winter Soldier and Falcon. So we know that that's coming. So it's going to be interesting. We also see Thor. It looks like he joins the Guardians of the Galaxy. We don't really know what's going to happen there. So maybe we'll see Thor again in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. But he gets on the ship with Star-Lord and the gang, and they're still searching for Gamora. And that's going to be really interesting to see. And, you know, it was a good ending to the movie. As far as everybody else is concerned, we don't really know what's going to happen with them. We know there's going to be a show with Vision and Wanda Maximoff or Scarlet Witch. We don't know how Vision's going to come back, because Vision didn't come back in this movie. But Scarlet Witch did. So that's something that's an unanswered question that I didn't really understand. Is why announce that when we don't know what happened to Vision? And then we don't really know what's going to happen to Hulk or Hawkeye or Ant-Man. We know that they're just there. But we know there might be another Ant-Man movie. Who knows? But we don't know what the future of Hulk or Hawkeye is going to be. But it was kind of a good way to end things with everybody. We know, of course, I said earlier that Loki disappeared with the Space Stone. So we know that Loki survived in his timeline, so that kind of justifies the Loki show that they're going to be doing with Disney Plus. So that was a good way to get that involved. And you know, I just feel they ended it in the best way possible. There was no after scene, after credit scene or mid credit scene. They just left it. So if you're listening to this before you see the movie and you just wanted the full spoiler, don't stay after the movie, because there's nothing there. It just ends. So we don't know really we know the next movie is Spider-Man. We know that Peter Parker went back to high school and he hugged Ned. So we know Spider-Man Far From Home is the next movie on the slate for the MCU. We know Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is in pre-production, with James Gunn returning again to, helm that film. So we'll see what goes on with that. I imagine they're going to keep the search for Gamora going. And, as far as that goes, and I imagine they're going to do a Black Panther 2. I imagine they're going to do another Ant-Man movie. It's just a matter of time. And so, my prediction for the future is that there's going to be a next Avengers movie, as long as they can establish new characters to come on board for the new Avengers. I think you can still do War Machine. I think you can still do Spider-Man. I think you can still have Scarlet Witch and Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know, if they wanted to. But I think they need to move on from that. I think they need to bring in some new blood and some new characters. They have so many characters to work with. They can move some of those guys around. Like, we can have Drax or Rocket and Groot join the Avengers. You know, that'd be something. Or we can play around with everything on that. So I think the future is bright for the MCU. I don't think it's over by any means. I know they have the the rights now to Fantastic Four and Deadpool and X-Men going forward. So that's going to be something that we'll be able to look forward to as well. So by any means, this is not the end game. If anything, it's the beginning of the next phase of the MCU. And even Kevin Feige came out and said that Spider-Man Far From Home is the end of Phase 3. So there's definitely going to be more phases of the MCU, and I'm really excited about the future of it. And again, I'm really excited about this movie. It was a very fun movie to watch, and it was emotional at times, but again, there was some stuff I didn't get. Like I said earlier, I didn't get the part with having Bruce Banner and the Hulk merged into one for the entire movie. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. I also didn't get why the Sorcerer Supreme was there by Tilda Swinton. I didn't know why she was there. And instead of somebody else, or maybe Wong. Wong could have been there. Just didn't make a lot of sense to me. But I made for a moment to bring back everybody. So, you know, all these people from the MCU came back. Even Robert Redford was in the movie, you know, reprising his role as the Secretary from Winter Soldier. So it was definitely a lot to handle and a lot to remember just from memory. It's a 3-hour long movie. So, if I kind of went on a tangent there for a little while, then I, you know, forgive me, you know, but I'm doing all this by memory. So, I hope that it does justice for you. I really enjoyed the movie. I hope everybody does too. And I hope everybody continues to support the superhero movies, and, cause they make a crap ton of money. So they're going to keep making them anyway. So might as well just support them. And, I can't wait to see what happens next. You know, the day when they stop making Marvel movies is going to be a day that the world ends, in my opinion. That's going to be the end game, is when they stop making Marvel movies. I hope you guys enjoyed my review of the spoiler-filled Avengers Endgame review. I'm going to do another podcast probably next week, and we'll figure out something to do from there. You know, I'm currently watching Doom Patrol. That's, I think, going to be close to being done soon, along with the CW shows are all close to being done as well. So I'll probably do kind of a each show season ending review on every show that I watch, like Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and all those shows. Probably do a podcast for each of those. But yeah, we'll see what the future holds, guys. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Fat Geeky Reviews. Again, my name is Brendan, and that's it for the Geek.